Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode 106 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. For those of you that are new to the show, I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association. And through my Everything Coworking brand, I use my broad industry experience and exposure to help people start and run co-working spaces that meet their personal and financial goals. I hope you guys are having a great week. I actually attended the Work Tech event in Los Angeles yesterday. I was the MC for the day, which sounds glamorous, but it's actually totally exhausting because you have to pay attention at all times and watch the clock and kick people off stage and handle Q&A. But it was really interesting, and I want to do an episode to just kind of download some of the learnings from that session. Definitely some overlap into our world. Chris Kelly from Convene kicked off the day. The event was hosted at a Convene location in LA, which was a really beautiful space. They run a coffee shop on the first floor of the building. It's super hip. It's a really traditional building. So I kind of loved the contrast of like just a really modern coffee shop in the first floor of the building that feels like a cool neighborhood coffee shop. There's a Bright Horizons in the building, which is a daycare center for those of you who are obsessed with co-locating childcare and co-working. And then there's event space, and the event space is like all under the Convene roof. So they handle AV, they handle the event planning, they have their own catering team, and the catering team serves the entire building. So any tenant in the building can order from their team. And then they have workspace on the floor above the event space. So pretty neat example of kind of integrating the ecosystem of the building. And the space was really beautiful and worked really well for the event. And then lots of other interesting flexible office co-working stuff that came up. So I will try to do a download on that to share with those of you who obviously weren't there. So a couple of other events to mention. The Global Workspace Association conference is on September 18th through the 20th this year in Washington, D.C. So mark your calendars for that. The event website will be up shortly. Also, check the GWA website, globalworkspace.org. If you are in the New York area, we are hosting an event on May 30th at the Players Club. And Kevin Whalen, who has been a guest on the podcast, is doing a session on the anatomy of the perfect co-working website. And I guarantee you, nobody has a perfect one. I don't. So lots to learn, great networking, and a super fun venue. If you haven't been to the Players Club in New York, it's very cool. Super old school, lots of character, just a really neat place for an event. So check that out under events on the Global Workspace Association website. So I am really excited to share with you the guest for today. A little bit of a different topic for this podcast, which is good. It's good to mix it up. So Melissa Saubers is the guest, and many of you may know her because she is an amazing contributor to the co-working community and shows up at events and is just a really special part of our industry. She is the chief connector and CEO of Cowork Waldo, which she founded in 2012. She is the co-founder and past president of the record-setting and award-winning Kansas City Coworking Alliance, founded in 2015. And that is going super strong. They have 20 members of independently run spaces in the Kansas City area, which I think is amazing because Kansas City is not a huge city. And they've just had great engagement on that. Besides running a co-working space and creating awareness about co-working in Kansas City, Melissa helps co-working spaces, businesses, and other organizations create sensitivity and inclusion around alcohol marketing and use policies in the workplace and at events. She's also the founder of Sands Bar Kansas City, a booze-free pop-up event based bar with live music and handcrafted alcohol-free drinks. So Melissa and I talk about how to think about being more inclusive around alcohol at co-working events. Obviously, happy hours and outside events are a big part of what we do in co-working spaces, but alcohol is not for everyone every time. So Melissa shares some creative ideas around how to expand your messaging and be more inclusive of your members when you host events. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Okay, we are in for a special conversation today. I have Melissa Saubers with me today, and she has a number of hats, as many of us in the co-working world do. So I'm going to let her talk a little bit about those. But she, in the co-working world, she is the chief connector and CEO of Co-Work Waldo, which is in Kansas City and was founded in 2012. Melissa, I was wondering that when I was thinking about your bio, because I just remember you from the early Juicy days. Yeah. And I was wondering, I was thinking you were one of the early ones to get into co-working. So I'm excited to hear about kind of that part of your journey, because I know my audience loves to hear the origination stories. And then we'll talk about kind of the other hats that you wear. And I also want to mention, you are the co-founder and past president of the record-setting and award-winning Kansas City Co-Working Alliance. Have you done a podcast with Kat on that one?
I have not. I've done a podcast with Iris.
Iris, okay. Did you do that on the Alliance?
I did one on Alliances, and then for I co-share, I did a marketing one. So yeah, I've done a couple.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I thought you had talked about the Alliance, because I know that it is award-winning. People always have questions about those. So
yes.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes. Yeah, so we're going to talk about you and the many hats that you're wearing and the new journey that you're on. So first, tell us a little bit about Melissa and where you are and your co-working story to start with.
Sure.
How you got into co-working and kind of a little bit about the early days and then where you are today.
Yeah. So 2012, first of all, I call myself a multi-passionate entrepreneur. So I have, like you said, many hats that I wear. And in 2012, I was working from home, running a marketing company. And I'd have the two women that were working with me come over to my house and the dog would be barking, there'd be dirty dishes in the sink. And I was like, this is just not the most creative environment to run a marketing company. And, you know, at that time I was getting kind of lonely and, you know, my creativity was waning. And I thought, so I'll just remodel my home office. I did that. That did not work.
The dirty dishes didn't get remodeled.
Yes, it didn't.
The dog was still barking. Yeah.
So I thought somewhere along the line, you know, 2012 was pretty still early, especially in Kansas City in the Midwest for co-working, but somehow I'd heard of it. And so I decided to open up a co-working space. That'll be easy. You know, it's simple. And it has been very, very rewarding. I call Co-Work Waldo the tiny but mighty neighborhood co-working space, because that's what we are. We are right smack dab in the middle of the Waldo neighborhood in Kansas City. And most of our members, you know, are really our neighbors. You know, they live very close by and they walk or bike or, you know, they're just within a mile or two. So that's kind of the community that we have here. And we are 6+ years into this business. So,
and you had a location move during that time.
Yeah. So actually 1 year ago, we moved to a temporary location. We were supposed to move to a permanent location. That fell through, but that's okay because everyone loves this space. So we're going to stay here.
Oh, good. And you still run your marketing company?
I do not run my marketing company anymore. I don't do marketing for other companies. So I just focus on the marketing for my companies.
Okay.
I've got plenty of those.
Yeah. So, but when you started, you were doing both. So you were kind of wearing the hat of marketing company owner with clients and co-working space manager, community manager, all the things.
All the things. I thought, you know, I just need a workplace for myself. I mean, that was really my number one impetus for doing this, but also I needed people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it came down to, is that I could not work by myself anymore. And, you know, we know this being in the co-working industry, but there is a loneliness epidemic. And I felt that in my core back in 2012. And so that was part of my motivation for doing this.
Yeah. And I think I love the neighborhood. And I know you've had challenges with sort of the size and, you know, sustainability and figuring out how to make that model work. But I feel like it's so important to keep working at that because, like, you were not going to go downtown.
Right.
Does Kansas City have a WeWork now?
We do. Yeah, we do. Yeah. And it's downtown. And there, you know, that we have, I don't know, 20 spaces in the Kansas City Co-working Alliance. And you know, it's grown from the four that were there in 2012, 2013 have grown to 20.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, I just am not going to go downtown. My daughter goes to school. She walks to Co-work Waldo every day after school.
Oh, so, perfect. Right.
You know, so like, this is part of my quality of living, really.
Totally. You know? Exactly. And you're attracting people who have the same situation. Maybe your kids go to school together. You go to, you know, whatever, you know, all the things. And you can kind of, it's like, it makes for a stronger community when you have that bond and you spend time together. Sometimes it's in CrossFit, we call it time under tension, but it's like, you know, people always say like you build relationships when you can spend more time with people.
Yes.
So when you see them kind of across different channels in different environments, you can build those relationships, which if you, you know, that's the difference with a WeWork. Maybe you go to a WeWork because you want the network and you want sort of the volume of humans that are in the building and see that as an opportunity, but, or you live downtown and that's what's convenient for you.
Yes.
But
yeah. And I think you hit on something is that I have had challenges in making this work, but I think what finally made it click is that I figured out what I was and what I wasn't, you know, what Co-work Waldo was and what it wasn't. And it's not, you know, necessarily startup focused. It's not downtown. It's not in the tech center. It really is in the neighborhood. And it's for people who, you know, just want to connect and they want to keep their quality of life, their, you know, neighborhood feel. And once I started focusing on that, then, you know, things started to click.
You know, I love that you say that because I think that's such a challenge. I think especially early on when there weren't, because I started the same time, February of 2012, and there were no co-working spaces. And so you just wanted to be everything to everyone.
Right.
And going through that evolution of, okay, well, now there are 20 spaces plus WeWork plus, you know, whoever, Industrious and, you know, whoever else is not in the alliance. And it's like, well, okay, how do I fit? And you know this in your, like, your training, that intellectual part of your brain. I'm sure you've known this forever, but it's so hard to apply that sometimes to our own world. And it's so hard to say, I'm not going to be for everyone because you feel like, well, the market's only so big. I want anybody who comes in the door, but we don't. And that messaging has to be so clear. Yeah. People ask that all the time. Like how, I think one of my last podcasts was about niching. And it's like, I think, you know, as clear as you can get on who you're trying to attract, the better. And then it'll play out. So get a real life example of that. Okay. So you have evolved so you've been open for like 7 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. A little over 6, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So your role sort of in life has evolved over that time. So you don't have the marketing company anymore and you have a new project that I'm super excited to talk about. It may not seem related to co-working at first. We're going to bring it around. So yeah, tell us about, you know, your personal journey and this new project that you've been called to do.
Yeah. So almost 3 years ago, I stopped drinking alcohol for a variety of reasons, but really the net of it is that I figured out that it was not serving me. Pun intended. It just really was getting in the way of my goals and it was becoming too central to everything that I did. And so once I kind of figured out how to unravel my life from that, because as we know, alcohol is our society is very alcohol centric and a lot of the things that we do, whether that be in business or in our personal lives, revolve around alcohol. So it does take some time to try to figure out how to unplug from that. And there's, you know, obviously some emotional things there and some other, you know, stress related things that you have to kind of work through. So anyway, so I started that journey actually right around this time 3 years ago and I stopped drinking on June 9th, 2016. So almost at 3 years. And part of looking at the big picture, I noticed, like I said, that alcohol is involved in everything. Yeah. You know, it's really the central to everything. And so as a non-drinking person now, I would still be very involved in the entrepreneurial world or the startup world or the networking world and go to networking events. And I would notice that I would go to the bar to try to get, you know, a non-alcoholic option, and usually they didn't have anything. I've been met with, you know, the bartender saying, well, I can make you a Shirley Temple, or or I can just mix a bunch of juices together, or, well, I've got water. Sometimes there's not even water. And that really blew me away, because when I was drinking, and I threw a lot of events, you know, through Co-Work Waldo and other things, I really didn't think about my non-drinking patrons or a guest or members or employees. I just never did. I mean, I definitely always had water and Coke, Diet Coke and Sprite, but that's about as creative as I got. And I can tell you now, being on the other side and looking at it from a non-drinking person's perspective, that we just as a society do not think. We always default to think that everyone drinks. And what I've learned is that not everyone drinks, and for a variety of reasons, not just because they're in recovery. Yeah, there are some people that just don't want to drink that night. And I'll use the example of soccer, for instance. Let's say there's a networking event from 5 to 7, and you've got to go pick up your kid from soccer. So you don't want to drink because you're going to be going to pick up your kid. Or let's say you're going to do CrossFit at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want to drink that night because you want to get up and do your CrossFit. Or I do a lot of yoga, so I, you know, don't want to drink.
Yeah.
That, you know, so
over yoga is,
yeah,
it's just right. I mean, if you're not hung, it's, yeah, I totally, you're right.
Yeah,
this is such I love this topic for so many reasons. I mean, one is just inclusion in general, right? Like, this probably got you to thinking, like, what else do people do that are not like what I do? You know, like, when you just like hadn't thought about the non-drinkers, what about the non-whatevers? And it's hard to think outside of what's typical, you know, lots of people drink, but then. Right. There's a segment that don't, and how do you serve them? Or, you know, anytime there's a member event, we have a lot of vegans and, you know, people who have like lots of dietary things that they follow. And so it's like, how do you constantly think about? Yeah. So anyway, go on.
Yeah. So really what it came down to is me thinking about this from this term that I call alcohol-free accessibility. So I just noticed there's hardly any alcohol-free options, and that most networking and business-focused events are all about the booze. You know, the advertising's free booze, you know, there'll be an open bar, you know, like that's what people are leading with in their marketing, where now I see it from a different perspective. I would rather hear about the speakers or about the panel or about the connections that I'm going to make or about the actual activity that we're going to do. So I've kind of thought about it from a couple of perspectives. One, having alcohol-free options available and making sure that we're being inclusive and sensitive. And then also from a marketing perspective and a kind of a policy and a culture perspective, because alcohol doesn't create community. People do. So that when we're having events and we're really trying to create community-focused things, we want to focus on the people and the actual connections that they're making.
Yeah, I feel like it is so complex to unpack that because, to your point, it's so central.
Yeah.
You know, to your point, it's like the people, but it's almost like we're looking for an excuse to bring people together. And the easy excuse is free beer, free wine, snacks, you know, those things. And I think we struggle with, okay, then right, how do you get around that? And, or when do you decide to get around it? Because, you know, maybe it's just not concern for you. I mean, there could be lots of people listening who are like, we love beer. And even so in my flight groups, we have a Slack group and we have members who have really great luck at getting people to show up for, you know, happy hours on Thursdays. And they, you know, one of them just got a great sponsor and they're super excited. I think it's a local brewery, but like people show up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but to your point, how do you sort of get into, like, is it a stage of life, a stage of career, a stage of, cause I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, you will not draw me in by free wine. I got, you know, that's not a, like a, right. To me, it's like, the time trade of, okay, what's the content? How am I going to advance my personal self or my business?
Yes.
Yeah. Or make a connection, just some, you know, which would go to sort of the personal self. Like, what am I getting out of it? I don't care about the, you know, the wine. How do you know if that's your audience, or how do you decide that that's who you're going to serve?
Yeah. Well, I think two things. I think one, this is not about taking alcohol out of the equation. It's about adding in options that are non-alcoholic. Yeah. And I think that's the key thing to remember, is that you can still have your happy hours, you can still have your things after work, but just think a little bit broader, you know, and really think about the people who don't drink. Like, for instance, at this point, if something is very booze centric, I'm just not going to go. And it's not because I'm triggered or, you know, anything like that. Yeah. It's just not worth the time trade that you just mentioned. Unless it's like something really, you know, some speaker I really want to hear or some topic I really want to be a part of, I'm just going to opt out and go, you know, go to yoga.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's not taking alcohol out of the equation. It's including non-alcoholic options.
Yep.
I think that's number one. And then I think also when you look at the big picture, there are a lot of people who can't do things after work, after 5 o'clock or whatever, for a variety of reasons. Maybe again, kind of going back to, they've got their kids' soccer practice, or they've got their own health and wellness routines that they'd like to keep, or they're just tired because they've been working all day. So I think having some options during the day that don't have alcohol involved, you know, whether that is a lunch and learn, or, you know, I asked the Kansas City Co-working Alliance actually for some options, and Sarah Fustini of Think Big Partners sent me this huge list of all these great options. Yeah. So I'm actually going to do a follow-up article in the Temper that will have like a ton of ideas on different kinds of non-alcohol focused networking events.
Oh, good. I love that. Make sure you share that, because I'll share it here, because I think, some of us just need, you need ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point, right, we don't have to take it out, but I love, you know, kind of what you said about, you know, so maybe more people, I think we worry about sort of eliminating people if we focus something or take, you know, but if you're offering, you're sort of opening it up and saying, of course, you know, we'll have some wine and beer, but we're also going to have these other things. And so we'd love to, you know, sort of messaging about that a little more, and it might bring in the Melissa or the, to your point, the folks who have the other routines, or now you've got me thinking like yoga with wine afterward, so that everybody is a little, you only care about the yoga, then you can do, you know, I feel like I've seen that, an original idea, but just being sort of more inclusive instead of focusing only on the alcohol. Cause even, I don't think it's an age thing. I mean, certainly there are younger folks, to your point, who just are super into their wellness, even if they don't have kids at home, the after hours. We certainly have that with our demographic in our space. And I suspect as co-working kind of matures and evolves, I mean, it used to be sort of everybody thought everybody in co-working spaces was younger. They're not now. They have families and, to your point, have a lot of things to do. We almost never do an after hours event. It has to be done during the hours. And then, to your point, who are they picking up after work? And do they want to be a couple of glasses of wine into that?
Yeah. Well, and I think another thing that I learned through my research and through my own experience was this concept called ENABS. ENABS.
Okay.
Stanford has an alcohol policy. They have all their students go through this kind of course or this whatever when they come to school there. And one of the things they talk about are ENABS. And ENABS are equally attractive non-alcoholic beverages. And so it's really an important thing, I think, as we look at the inclusivity and the sensitivity and accessibility of alcohol-free options, is to, if you're going to have a signature cocktail for your event, then have a signature mocktail.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to have beer, then have kombucha. You know, have an equally attractive is kind of a key part of it, and also equal number. So 1-to-1 ratio. You've got beer, then you've got kombucha. You've got wine, and then you've got, you know, a sparkling water with juice or something. So you've kind of got a 1-to-1 ratio, and that helps just increase the options for people. And when you're pre-marketing your event, talk about those options up front so that people know that they have something to drink when they come, if they're a non-drinker. So those are just some thoughts.
Yeah, no, I love those ideas, because that's what I was going to, you know, sort of ask around messaging. So it sounds like you're sort of recommending, like, look, we're not messaging sort of a big shift around including alcohol. It's just expanding the options and making them super attractive. It's just like healthy things on the menu. Like if you position them and can make them sound, you know, just as good as the steak and mac and cheese, then, you know, the alternatives become, you know, a better option.
Yes, absolutely. It's just about accessibility and inclusivity and sensitivity. Those are kind of my keywords. Yeah.
How would we think about, so for owners that have community managers that are kind of taking on the challenge of planning events, how do we sort of, you know, impart that inclusiveness and sort of, you know, broadening the scope to them and help them sort of frame that up a little bit more?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple of key points here. I think it is about the culture that you create in your space. So as you're hiring new community managers and training them, as well as doing new member onboarding, you know, you don't have to ask somebody if they drink or not. That's not necessary, I don't think. But I think that, you know, stating up front that we have this alcohol use policy, or we have this inclusivity policy or culture or whatever you want to call it, that just says, this is our standard way of doing business. When we have alcohol present, we always have equally attractive non-alcoholic beverages. That when we are promoting an event, that we are promoting the speaker or the reason why we're having the event, not the booze. You know, it just comes down to some basic tenets of culture and just kind of the way you do business, kind of your methods and procedures, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that is fun, I mean, one of the things that I love about co-working is being able to use my creativity and creating things for my members and how to connect them. And sometimes it's events and et cetera. So I think, you know, empowering those employees and those community managers to be able to think outside the standard, you know, happy hour box, you know, what else can you come up with? You know, can you come up with a hot chocolate bar or waffles, you know, waffle morning or whatever, give them some leverage to be able to do some things that are outside of the standard. Nope, we just do 5 to 7 happy hour.
You know? Right. Which is easy, right? I think that's why it gets defaulted to a lot.
Totally.
And so, giving that permission to the team, encouraging them to be creative, you know, giving them a little budget to work with, to, you know, whatever you would spend on, you know, wine and beer, spend it on, you know, the waffle bar, which is another example of an event I've heard goes really well.
Yes.
I keep wanting to try it and I haven't, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But that goes back to the, like, you really have to be sort of committed to those alternatives. And I'll be interested to hear Sarah's list of creative options, because there are probably a good range there that work. And then how would you extend that philosophy to events that you host in your space? Would you sort of message around encouraging?
Yes, absolutely. Same thing. One, you have equally attractive non-alcoholic beverages available on a one-to-one ratio. And number two, you promote the core part of the event versus the alcohol. And if you're promoting that there's alcohol available, you're promoting that there's non-alcoholic options available. You just keep it very even. I mean, it's just about inclusivity and accessibility. So you just make sure that the messaging is very clear. You talk about the connections that they're going to make. You talk about the education, the topics that they're going to be enlightened about. You know, if it's a health and wellness focused thing like yoga, then, you know, it's about mental health and your physical health and, you know, just in general, you talk about the benefits of that event versus, you know, it's the whole features and benefits thing.
Yeah, totally.
Right. Can I have it? The features are, yes, we're going to have a bar there.
Yeah.
A benefit is it's actually the people there and the topic that we'll be discussing that is really the most important thing. So,
yeah, I think that's just an example. I keep thinking about this theme of, you know, we play leadership roles in our internal space communities. And then the fact that we bring people into our space and we're business owners in a community makes, you know, puts us in a, like, a role model position. And so I love kind of extending that to, look, this is how we sort of the bar we set for events that we host in our space. And this messaging is important to us. It's like our little way, like, you know, I saw your on Instagram, your post, or maybe it was Facebook, about the book with the Wim moms with the wine glasses on the front. And I get into that, like, you know, I want to sort of rage against the big cultural. And it's just like, well, how do you make a little you know, you can't just go fix that, right? That's a huge cultural issue. But in our little world, we have some power to make a difference. And so what you just described, just, you know, event after event, just sort of having that stance, you know, makes an impact.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think a lot of co-working space owners and operators started because they wanted to connect with other people.
Yeah.
And they want to create community. And if you keep that as the core to your culture and everything that you do, and, you know, helping to cure the loneliness epidemic or helping support people's mental and physical health and wellness, if you keep those things core to every event that you do and just think about all the aspects of that, I think it makes it easier to execute against.
Melissa, I have an idea. I think maybe you should start creating custom mocktails for brands.
Well, so we haven't talked about my other new,
tell us.
Business. So okay. There's a place in Austin called Sands Bar. So
okay.
Sands meaning without. So it's a bar without booze. And I heard about it on Instagram and I contacted the founder, Chris Marshall. And I said, okay, Chris, I want to bring this to Kansas City. So we kicked it off with a New Year's Eve event and we have had one event per month. And we've got literally in the next 2 months, we've got like six events.
Wow.
So it's just taking off, but essentially we're doing pop-up events that are alcohol-free and have live music or some sort of entertainment. And we have handcrafted alcohol-free drinks. So my bartender is actually a medical doctor. That's her day job.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I love it. And so she uses the science, you know, of wellness or medical. Anyway, and so she creates the, we call them handcrafted alcohol-free drinks, not mocktails. And she creates them. And then my volunteer team, we sit around and we brainstorm names. And it has just been so fun. And I met with a guy to plan a new event. And he was like, oh my gosh, your drinks are just so fabulous. And I was like, oh, I love that. You know, because we also have a professional photographer at our events. And she takes these fabulous pictures of our fabulous drinks. So it is about, you know, and I'm carrying this drink and I feel included.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the key is that we just don't want anybody to feel like, you know, there's some afterthought. We want them to feel like they're part of the community.
Yeah, with the fancy glass and the fancy looking drink. It is funny how even, I mean, I feel like I am too old to be worried about peer pressure. But right, when I go to events and don't want to drink, the whole like, right, can I have the sparkling water? And they put it, can you put a lime in it so at least looks like a gin and tonic?
So much so.
People, yeah, I mean, our society is so funny about alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And I'm just, I mean, I love a glass of wine, but it's mostly about being able to do my life. I just can't do my life and have a lot of wine, unfortunately. Right. So yeah, I love that. It's a great idea. So yeah, I feel like there's going to be some expansion of this with your, it's such a fun fit, your marketing background, community background, and this personal passion. Yeah. It's a neat place for you to be.
Yeah. So, I'm having a blast. I'm just having a blast. I'm using my creativity. I feel like this is effortless and fun. And it's something that where I can tie all of the, like you said, I can tie all of the things that I've been doing together. So yeah.
Yeah. I love this. Okay. Now my brain's moving about how to leverage Melissa. Well, Melissa, is there anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
Well, I think there's a couple of articles that I mentioned that we can link to if you want to in the show notes. Yeah, the first one was just how workplaces can make networking events less focused on alcohol. So we can link that. And then I'll have a follow-up article to that coming out soon in The Temper. So
what's The Temper?
Oh, yeah. So The Temper is an online media company essentially that focuses on the alcohol-free lifestyle, sober curious, alcohol-free, overcoming addiction, any of those topics that are kind of related to that. And it's part of the parent company, Hip Sobriety, is the company, the class that I took to stop drinking.
Okay.
And Tempest is their main parent company. So anyway, it's all related to that. But I will be writing for them and I'll be speaking and I'll be creating new things. One of the things that I do want to do going forward is to kind of help companies create policies and, you know, kind of the how-tos on how to have a more inclusive events. So those are things that I'll be working on over the next year or so.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah. So keep us posted. Definitely send the link to the ideas because I think everybody's always looking. I think this has probably been very thought-provoking for some folks. And then to your point, it's like, okay, now how do I integrate this into what I'm doing and, you know, start making those shifts and with my team and that kind of thing. So, well, thank you for being such a contributing, you know, member of the co-working community and for sharing this new part of your life with co-working and, you know, helping us to think a little bit differently. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And thank you for having me on and letting me talk about this topic. And yeah, I'm open anytime that anybody wants to talk about it. This is something that I really have a passion for and I really want to make a big difference. So.
Ooh, you just reminded me. So if someone wants to reach out to chat more, what's the best way to get to you?
Yes. So I am on Twitter at Melissa Saubers. I am on Instagram at Melissa Saubers. I do not have a website for this stuff yet.
Says the marketing professional.
I know. It's like happening so fast that I can't keep up with everything.
You're doing before. Yeah.
Yeah. But they can message me on Facebook or you can certainly link to my email and I'm happy to talk to people anytime.
Perfect. We'll put that info in the show notes too. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.